Welcome to the last committee meeting, the executive committee. We have one action item, and that's the approval of the athletic employment contract for head coach and women's cross country track programs. I don't know if we're presenting or not, but I will entertain a motion for approval of that contract in the committee. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any comments, questions? Hearing none, then I'll ask for approval. All in favor of the approval motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimously. We have three informational items, and we'll start with the strategic plan update. Dr. Bruce. Hello.
Thank you all for sticking with us for so long. I think I have a PowerPoint. Here we go. So I just want to give an update on what's happening with the implementation of the strategic plan. You've obviously heard a bunch of good news already today, and I'll try not to dwell too much on those same items. Just to give people who haven't been here the whole time for this process, I'll give you a quick update, bring you up to date where we are now. As you know, we have the three areas of the strategic plan that are both online, available online, and in hard copy. And just to define some terms briefly, goals are what we want to attain, strategies are our paths to get there, and the metrics that I'll primarily talk about today are the indicators of our success. So real briefly, we started this when President Cimone came in, formed a strategic planning set of committees, had a lot of people involved, moved through this and achieved approval by this body in 2018, and then it rolled out in the fall of 18. In the spring, President Cimone asked me to chair an implementation committee to help move the strategic plan from sort of the web and the paper copy to actual action and make sure that that action is consistent across different bodies and that there's collaboration that you've already heard about today working so that we can move forward in an efficient and fiscally intelligent manner. So this was done by people actually applying from the university community to be a part of this committee, and then we formed this committee that still exists today, and I was asked again to be the chair of it. So last spring we started our initial meetings. We formed an executive committee and have a variety of committees that you see up there. Primary one that we wanted to move on as quick as possible was a metrics committee. And so that work started last spring. And we also at the same time were interviewing leaders at WKU about the strategic plan to receive as much input as possible from as many different areas as we could. And some of those leaders have changed, and we've continued to interview the new people in those positions. So we started to focus on sort of three major areas, and that's the metrics themselves, the coordination of activities, as I already talked about, and then the reporting of those, and this is part of that reporting nature here today. I want to thank, besides all the people that have been involved in this all along, Greg and Tuesday for co-chairing from the EC, the metrics committee, because they met throughout the summer with the groups to work on the metrics of our students, our Hill, and our community and beyond. And you should have, each of you, a compilation of the 15 major metrics that we've come up with so far. So what they started with was subgrouping into these three areas, coming up, looking at the goals that were in the strategic plan, and you have the numbers there, and then came up with as many reasonable metrics as they could draw from, and they're drawing this not only from the people sitting in the room, but from the white papers that go back to the original strategic plan, which are still available on the website. If you would ever like to go look at those, we can point you in that direction. So there were 85 metrics that were created initially, and then what we went through is a process of winnowing down to 15, and we may get up as close to as many as 20 in the end. But these are the metrics right now that you have before those and that the president today released to the university community through his message. And these are the ones that I'll talk a little bit more about. Some of these metrics are largely quantitative metrics, and some of the goals that are in the strategic plan do not lend themselves necessarily to a quantitative metric. So let me just briefly run through a few of the qualitative things that are going on. I'll try not to dwell too much on the ones that have already been talked about, like the scholarships, which is obviously immense. You've heard about, Brian talked about the strategic enrollment plan, so that's to serve our full constituents. That's ongoing. We should have something concrete by the end of the spring term there. Global Learnings, John Sunnygard is heading that up and making a lot of changes and connecting to a lot of aspects across the university and the broader community. And remember, our community is not just Bowling Green, it's not just Warren County, it's not just the counties of Kentucky, but it goes across the globe. And so he's very important in help leading that movement. And then we also have great things going on with athletics. Todd left, but I've been meeting with him and with alumni ambassadors. Just a few updates on that one. It's just amazing what's going on with our alumni right now. We have over 100 alumni involved in helping to advise students. We have created our own Topper Pride alumni chapter for helping students that fall into the Pride area navigate their career messages and pathways. We're doing things with the international students. So the alumni are really becoming an even more important part of the college community for our students, which I think is just going to be extremely helpful in their success. At the Hill level, we consider this are the faculty, the staff, the administrators, all the people that day in, day out are here to help with student success. We are the human resources helping to lead a market analysis of employee salaries and benefits. We're continuing to look at sustainable practices and healthy practices, not only our wellness program, but as you probably heard, we will go tobacco free starting in January, which is a great strive forward for the health of our community. And you've certainly heard a bit now about RAMP. And so I think I can honestly say this, that we will adopt the RCM model in July of 2020. Not out of bounds on that one. So, and then the provost talked about the CAPE process. We're developing a comprehensive advising program. This, again, really is an important stride. Students can go on to TopNet now. They can click on a certain link in TopNet, and they can see their four-year plan that is adopted to them. It incorporates what they have taken already and what their goal is to take. It's like a program of study for our grad students at the undergraduate level. It's going to be immensely helpful to have them continue down and get graduated in hopefully 4 years, certainly by six, with changes of majors and things like that. But of course, the goal is always 4 years. And then we are actively instituting our five-year diversity, equity, and inclusion plan. I'll talk a little bit more about that with our quantitative metrics. So in terms of the quantitative metrics, I'll kind of move from the bottom up. I just wanted to highlight that our athletics program is not only doing great things when they play the sports, but they're doing great things with the students themselves. And these are metrics that they have to meet. The first one for the NCAA, and they consistently do that. It's not so much the number above 930. It goes up to a number of 1,000, but we have several teams that actually hit 1,000 pretty consistently. So that's an important progress report metric that they need to do to stay in the NCAA. The graduation success, this is a graduation rate of success metric. It's slightly different from a straight graduation rate because it incorporates transfers in and out. But it's a very high number, and it's something that as a university we should strive for all our students. And so the goal here is to maintain this number and not put additional resources in, but to save those resources for the rest of our student body, but to make sure that this doesn't slip. It's a very high metric, and we want to help them maintain that metric. I'll just touch on one with our Hill in terms of quantitative numbers. This has to do with awards received, not expenditures. And so we've seen both the dollar amount over from the first year, the baseline year to last year, fiscal 18 to fiscal 19. We're increasing our dollars asked for and our dollars received. So that's a good sign if we can keep that moving. And that's something that, again, that mantra of an applied research university that also looks at the pure science component is very important for our institution, it's very important for our faculty, and it's critical for our students to have hands-on experiences through faculty obtaining these type of awards. And then I'll finish up by just talking about a number of the different metrics that fall under our students. And I won't take up too much of your time, but the first one that Dr. Bell talked about, financial counseling, we are up from 74.7% in the baseline year to 80.3%. That is almost 14,000 students that are being counseled financially out of essentially about 17,400. That's very impressive that this is going on, and this is clearly going to continue to help our students see their way financially through to graduation. We also have an opportunity fund with a goal of $50 million, and we're over halfway there. So that's great. As you know, that's a fund that can be used to help students out who have financial needs, everything from a car breaking down to they can't pay for their books this semester. They can apply for money to help them get through rough times and keep them in school rather than having to leave, go get a job, and then try to come back later. Our STEM plus health degrees are up. The number of women involved in these degrees are up, and our underrepresented minorities are up. So this is a continual bar that we want to keep working on, and of course this also helps with state performance funding. We've seen an increase in retention from baseline to second year, and I believe the president, when he talks, may talk about what the outlook is this year as well. We've seen graduation rate go up, and we've seen the number of degrees for graduate professionals go up. So we, I hope, have really turned the corner now, or we're starting to implement these things. And I just have to say, from the point of view of my position, it is so great to see so much of the campus community working together for moving all these things. It's not just one group's responsibility. It's a collective, cohesive unit moving us forward and sort of breaking down those silos, and that's just really important for our success. So the next immediate steps regarding the metrics themselves is I'm going to be bringing these to the various leadership bodies across campus. I have a meeting set up with the executive committee. I've got a meeting set up with the staff senate, with the SGA. That'll be coming up in one of the future Tuesdays. CAD will be looking at them again at a future meeting. So what we want to do is make sure that everybody can buy into these metrics, that they don't see an impediment for being able to move forward. Obviously, not every metric affects every unit on campus, but where it does, it's important to have buy-in. And again, we still have a few more to develop, and part of that is because the strategic enrollment plan won't be finished up until the spring, and they will give us some knowledge about some other metrics that we may need to include, or some that we have that may need to be modified. So with that, thank you for your time. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Comments?
I'll make a comment. 2 years ago this month is when the strategic plan process really began in earnest, and Bruce took over as a co-chair of that, and to see him now doing this follow-up work, he has been immersed in our strategic plan, truly immersed for 2 years, and he's done a great job, and having served on the steering committee with him on that, I saw him manage personalities, manage ideas, and for us, 2 years later, to be looking at improvement already, I'm getting some chills here. But Bruce, great job. And I thank you.
Bass? Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Our next information item is President's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is just going to be an opportunity to more formally make sure that there are things that we all need to hear about that perhaps weren't talked about during the rest of the meeting or things that I want to share. And I appreciate the opportunity to do that. You've heard today about our significant and substantial scholarship revisions. You know now that we're making measurable, significant progress on quantitative measures on retention. That will continue into this fall. I can't give you the numbers yet, but we're going to be up again in degree production, fundraising, and student engagement metrics. If you haven't seen, the First Year Village is coming out of the ground on South Campus. It may be taller than I had in my head or in my mind, but it's there. So go take a look at that if you get an opportunity. Helton Library is not only empty, it is just about gutted. At some point, we're going to have a walk through there to show folks the progress on the WKU Commons. Yesterday, I had the great good fortune to be out at site visit on our McChesney Field Campus to look at the Mary McChesney Kindle Pavilion unveiling. That's a facility that you all had approved long before I arrived with a gift of 140 acres from the McChesney family. Harden Field McChesney was a professor here, and his family had a presence on this hill for 62, 64 years, both as faculty and as students. And they've made a gift of that farm and that property to us. The pavilion will provide an opportunity for our kinesiology, health and sports students, and many other students to have a place to go and experience what is a tremendous space. Yesterday, the ladybugs were out in force. And so we'll figure out when they're not and maybe go for a field trip there sometime. You may have seen this week we launched LifeWorks at WKU. This is a continuation of the work that's happening in the CEC, our Kelly Autism Program, helping young people who are on the spectrum receive their college degrees. We know that at age 21 that you fall off of the support system. And this is an extension of that work. To help young people who have job preparation to be ready to live on their own, to go to work, to fit in and have the social skills to be successful there. Both of these efforts are completely funded through philanthropy. And so I just wanted to thank the donors and their families. We celebrated Keyes Scholarships this year. Many of you may or may not know that in the past 20 years, WKU has been the recipient of over $185 million in Keyes funds through the Kentucky Lottery. 55,000 students who've come through WKU have received those scholarships. We had an incredibly successful homecoming. For those of you who saw the photographs, moving the big red roar to the top of the hill and ending the parade there, even though it was harder to get to the top of College Street than the bottom of the hill, it made for a successful celebration, and we'll continue to evolve that in coming years. We're pursuing, obviously, an aggressive expansion of our marketing and recruitment efforts, especially in Middle Tennessee, to continue that progress. Our Talisman students were recognized with 7 Gold Circle Awards, and Herald and Talisman, again, have 3 Pacemaker finalists this year. We had our most successful Parents Weekend ever, with 1,300 folks attending the barbecue, over 3,000 tickets purchased for the football game, and boy, wasn't that a good game. Lastly, WKU and Davis County have re-established our partnership. A decade into the future, we're going to work together on making sure WKU Owensboro is vibrant and engaged in that community. This year, we had a record number of Gatton students who were named National Merit Semifinalists, 23, a record for Gatton, and you heard about our remarkable athletic graduation rate. I talked at a convocation about turning a corner. And folks, if you don't feel that, you're not feeling very much right now, because as an institution, the entire university has worked together, pitched in, and we're making significant progress year over year, year over year over year. We're going to continue that into the future. So with that, thanks for the opportunity to provide a bit of update on what we've been working on.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions, comments, President's report? Okay, the last item, information item, just starts with me. Part of the board responsibility, and that is delegated to the executive committee, is to do an evaluation of the president. It sort of takes a two-pronged approach. One is a self-evaluation, which I'll stop right now. And advise everybody that last Friday, so it's been about a week now, I sent out the president's annual report to the board, as is required by the bylaws and in compliance with the bylaws, that outlines what the institutional goals are and the president's success or achievements with respect to those particular goals. Now, that was a take a look here, 23-page report. I'm not going to sit here and go through that. I hope everybody's had an opportunity to look at it. The second phase of that I've just handed out was to do an evaluation summary. And the summary identified five specific areas: recruitment, retention, LAFTI, WKU experience, budget stabilization, and community engagement. I think this speaks for itself, and everybody has pretty well seen a lot of the results. We look at the endowed scholarships. We look at the graduation highest we've had last year, or last school year. We look at our recruitment and retention. We have certain goals that we're trying to accomplish, and we are actually moving very quickly toward those goals. I think, Bruce, you probably just identified a lot of those things that we targeted and that we are moving toward. Clearly, it turned the corner. Budget stabilization. Again, this is the ramp. Model or RCM as well, and it's moving into a very positive area. Difficult at first, and not easy to implement, especially when you change, but it's moving in that regard. And we've opened ourselves up for more community engagement within our 27-county area, or service area, and around the Commonwealth as well. You know, I can speak to Lexington to a certain degree, as Linda can. Outstanding op-ed piece in the paper last week. So, we're knocking on the door and people are seeing us. I don't think it benefits anybody if I sit here and try to read through everything here. But you've had an opportunity to take a look at the president's evaluation, and I'm just sort of amazed. We really are moving in that right direction. And so I'll kind of open it up for any questions or comments that anybody may have, either me or Mr. Clement.
Just a quick comment, Gil. You spot on in your comments, and Mr. President, thank you for outstanding service, performance, and engagement.
Go back to the recruitment process and what we were looking for a new president, and Bill to Bill and every one of them, including, thank goodness, having a sense of humor, which you have to have to survive.
Most of these are really special, right?
But, yeah,
Dr. Cabonius.
Met all of them and exceed them, and I think we're really starting to see results that only compound as time goes on. Thank you.
What else?
If I may, these are always uncomfortable because while I may visibly get the credit for it, the reality is that this is thousands of people across this institution doing the work. And so I hope that everyone who sees or reads those metrics understands that each of them has a role to play in that success. And that sometimes I get mentioned, but it's not just me. But I appreciate it on behalf of everybody who does that work. Thank you.
Being able to develop a cohesive team is an art form in itself, though. And as we all know and see every day, leadership does matter.
I agree, but I appreciate your reference to those who work with you and committees and all of the staff and faculty. Everybody has a part, small and large. All right, with that, we'll start to wind down unless there's other comments. Let me give a quick statement on two things. First, last night, Bridget Higgins and I had a social and dinner engagement with the faculty, with Julie Chagoin, the chair of the Faculty Senate, and people that she invited. Which was her, I guess, her executive committee, or I guess that's her name, or chair of the various departments. And the purpose behind that meeting last night was to, first of all, kind of get to know them, because as a board, we don't. And secondly, was to listen. Nobody had to sit in the room and agree or disagree, but we all listened. I thought they listened to Freddie and I. I believe Freddie and I listened to them. Some significant ideas. For example, why don't we have more engagement with the faculty senate in terms of maybe regents just showing up for meetings? I was reminded that they were open, and you can go. And nobody has to ask you any questions. You can sit in the back of the room. So I might go with Klaus the next one. So. Maybe not November, but the December one. I thought that was a good idea. May not necessarily want to hear what they've got to say, but opening debate and trying to find a compromise if it's the right thing to do. So, and Jennifer, you're up next. So, next time. It's an idea to open up and to communicate and actually takes off the spin from what you've started. So I want to tell you how positive that was last night and see if we can't build on it. Freddie, you want to add anything to that at all?
Yeah, I think you said it well, Gil. It was an excellent opportunity to start building a better bridge of communication and listening.
Yeah.
And I was very, very excited and very pleased with our encounter last night.
That was too. All right, let me get some meeting schedules for 2020, and I'm going to come back to the first one, January 31st, which is our next committee meeting, but let me come back to that in a minute. Did we pass these out?
Yes, I thought I was okay.
Well, there they are. March 6th is first quarterly meeting, April 10th committees, May 10th second quarterly, June 26th will be the special budget approval committee meetings, August 6th the retreat. Back that in a minute. On August 7th, the third quarterly meeting, October 23rd, committee meetings, and then the fourth quarterly meeting will be December the 11th. A couple of regents have said to me that we get more out of, I'll say, retreats or mini retreats than maybe we do committee meetings. And I'm still trying to find a way that, you know, we kind of coordinate that and expand on the information. In addition to that, Regent Bale got in touch with me about a concept that started at Kansas State University. I'll make sure I got this right. Adaptive leadership.
Adaptive leadership.
And that these people have visited this campus and been here. Leaders from around the Commonwealth, including some people from less than Linden, like Jim Gray. And it's something that maybe we ought to look at. And I agree with Regent Bale on that. The second aspect of it is another thought process about engaging past regents in conversations about what their ideas, what they see, and more importantly, if we can engage them, maybe that helps build contributions in our capital programs, etc. Don't know that it does, but engaging these people who have served physically at the university, bringing them back in and having conversations. So if we can try to work that out, we're going to take a shot at January 31 as a, quote, mini retreat in committee meetings. And maybe we won't have as large a committee agenda that will allow us to do that on the 31st, and then maybe circle it around with the previous regents that are still here. Not necessarily in Bowling Green, but wherever they may be, certainly be invited. So that's the target of January 31. I know you've got a tough schedule on the front end and the back end of that, as does Freddie, so we'll see if that may change a little bit. We'll try to figure that out. But anyway, right now, January 31. So, anybody got a comment on that schedule or any thought process about a mini retreat? It will be identified primarily for adaptive leadership if we can get the people here. You know, weather will be a problem, maybe, but we'll address it. Okay. So I don't have anything else unless anybody, am I supposed to say, oh, you got something? That's already did that. Okay. Anything else? Then we're adjourned.